I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do have a seat. We read a lot of St. Paul in church. Over the course of the summer, we're going to be reading a whole lot from Paul's letter to the Romans, kind of his magnum opus. If you're looking for something to do on a rainy afternoon, sit down, crack open the letter to the Romans in a modern translation, I would recommend, and read it once. Then go away and sit down for a while quietly. Come back in about half an hour and read it again, because you're not going to get it all in one go. St. Paul shaped the church. St. Paul is an important guy, but St. Paul, I have to tell you, was not the kind of guy you would want to invite to a fun dinner party. Of course, he was the first real theologian of the new Christian faith. Of course, he was endlessly, even relentlessly, energetic as an evangelist of the early church, who opened the faith to the Gentiles, without whom my British ancestors would probably still be worshiping oak trees and painting themselves blue. They were druids. Of course, Paul was brilliant, passionate, committed, energetic, focused. But fun? Maybe not really. And this morning is kind of a good example of Paul being Paul. Here we are on a Sunday morning at the beginning of summer. And I was going to put some remarks in here about what a beautiful morning it was. Thanks a lot. There's one illustration that just won't work. But here we are at the beginning of summertime. My kids used to call the Sunday after the end of school the first Sunday of Schlitterbahn. So here we are in the third Sunday of Schlitterbahn. And anyway, it's a beautiful Sunday, and we've all made it to church, so we're all feeling pretty good about ourselves and maybe a little bit righteous. And there's a baptism. Oh, it's so nice. And it's a baby being baptized. And Heron is just the most adorable little thing. And she's got the most adorable little baptismal bonnet on that I have ever seen in all my years of baptizing people. And it's a lovely and cute and even adorable scene. We should revel in that. It's a celebration. Young Heron Roberts Baucom is becoming part of Christ's royal priesthood. That's all of us, you and me. We're going to baptize her, and we're going to anoint her with oil, exactly the same way we would anoint a queen or a king. She becomes royalty. We'll welcome Heron into the fold. We'll promise to help her parents, Joe and Maddie, bring her up in the faith and the love and the community of this church. We mean that. I look around, and it's kind of like being part of one really big, enormous, religious Norman Rockwell painting. It's all just so beautiful and nice. But then there's Paul. Did you hear what he said? Hold on a second, Paul says. This is all very sweet, but just a minute. There's something else for you to think about. Hold on just a second, Paul says. This is lovely and a celebration. But, do you not know that those who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death? Do you not know that when you're baptized and you're put under that water, you're buried with Christ in a death like his? Don't you know that that's how we rise with him? Paul's with us this morning, and we want to think about babies and bonnets, and Paul wants to talk about burials and death. Kind of kills the buzz. That's Paul for you. So which is it? Which is it really? Is this a celebration or is it a solemnity? Is it life or is it death? And of course, as it always is in the Christian faith, the answer is yes. The answer is both. And if we really understand what Paul is trying to tell us this morning, it doesn't kill the celebration, it makes the celebration that much more profound. In the Anglican Communion and throughout much of the Christian family, we take a bold, radical, risky step. We baptize infants. And I firmly believe that this is good and right to do. Infants need a Savior just as much as their parents do. But there's a temptation that comes along with that. There's a way of thinking that can come with that, that Paul wants to correct firmly. The temptation is we can start looking at baptism as kind of a life stage event, a sort of rite of passage for Episcopalian babies. And Paul is in the house this morning not to kill the buzz, but to remind us just how much is going on right here. If I were the kind of preacher who liked coercing people into repeating things after me, I would get you all to repeat the phrase, "Baptism is not about babies." But I'm not that kind of preacher, so I'll just ask you to think about that and I'll repeat it myself. Baptism is not about babies. Baptism is about discipleship. Baptism is about declaring a new fundamental allegiance for our lives. Baptism is about declaring a whole new focus for our lives. Baptism is about a new identity, a new self. And for that allegiance to grow into reality, for that new focus of life to become sharper and sharper, for that new identity to take root and grow, for that new life to begin, Paul is simply being honest with us. For that to happen, some things will have to die. Some things that have crept into our human nature will have to be cleansed away. Our human tendency that we all carry around in us, our human tendency to forget the one who made us and to think that our lives belong to ourselves alone. Our human tendency to regard the natural world as a possession to be exploited rather than a gift to be stewarded. Our tendency to organize people into groups called us and them. All these things that, if we're honest with ourselves, we can identify in our own hearts and that we can see at play in our communities, all these things that have crept into our human will that aren't meant to be there. Things that move us away from God's will. Move us away from life with God that's true life. Paul reminds us, baptism gives new life by putting those things to death. It's a long, slow process. And we'll be working on it, and Heron will be working on it from now on. But this is where it starts. From the day of our baptism We may be members of a particular family, but first and foremost, we're members of Christ. We may be part of a race or an ethnic group, but first and foremost, we're Christian. We may be citizens of a nation or even members of a political party, but first and foremost, we're followers of Jesus. That's what Jesus was getting at, too, in that challenging gospel we read this morning. This is our new primary allegiance, our new self. That doesn't come naturally to us. We have to work on it every day, letting some things die so that better things can live. We need each other to help us meet this challenge, and that's why we are going to make that solemn promise to help our newly baptized and her parents grow into that new life in Christ. That's why we'll reaffirm the baptismal vows that declare this new alliance, this new identity that's at the root and the core of who we are, each one of us here. So, yeah, really, Paul can be Mr. Serious at times, and I don't know if you're going to want to invite him on your next trip to Las Vegas. But it's good that Paul is with us this morning to remind us that this really is both a death and a celebration of new life, a burial and a birth, the end of an old life and the beginning of something new and wonderful and challenging and beautiful that'll continue forever. In Jesus' name, amen.